Are Wolves doomed?
The games they've had, in Premier League terms, relatively, have been fairly inviting fixtures.
Who's Joaquin Panicelli?
Joaquin Panicelli has been the revelation of the season so far in Ligue 1.
And can Millwall do something special this season?
In a wide-open championship season, they definitely have a chance. Alex Neil's doing an understatedly brilliant job.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh. This is Football Fast No Faff. This is Route 1. When Vitor Pereira was offered a new contract by Wolves earlier in the season, we did suggest that the club might want to think again. Wolves were bottom of the table, they hadn't yet won a league game, and they had a decisive clash with Leeds on the horizon. Well, Pereira signed that contract, a three-year deal in fact, and look what's happened since. Wolves are still bottom of the league, they were beaten by Leeds, they still haven't won a league game at all, and they've also been beaten by the other two promoted sides. During the latest such disappointment, Sunday's 3-2 defeat to Burnley at Molineux, fans were heard chanting, "You've sold the team, now sell the club," at the owners. Pereira himself was seen angrily remonstrating and waving his fists at supporters, and Jose Sarr was caught in some unsavoury scenes as fans confronted him in a car park. It's beginning to feel a bit like relegation. Steve Madeley is the Wolves correspondent for The Athletic. Steve, we are only 6 months on from Wolves' six straight wins. How's it gone so wrong? And are Wolves doomed? Or is there any hope of survival?
I think if you look at the last few years for Wolves, there's growing evidence that that six-game winning run at the end of last season, while it was impressive, was very much the blip rather than the norm. In the last few summers, Wolves have generally sold their best players and generally have replaced them with what you'd have to describe as substandard replacements. They've also sold their captain in each of the last four summer windows, so there's been a real loss of experience and Premier League know-how. And of the six players they signed this summer, none of those players have got a minute of Premier League experience under their belts before arriving at Molineux. So I think alarm bells were ringing for fans pretty much before the first kick of the season, really. So against that backdrop is what Vitor Pereira has been working. It's a hard job to do with a squad that at the moment doesn't really look up to Premier League standard. I think the question that Vitor Pereira still has to answer, though, and the question that fans have put to him, and the thing that's prompted a lot of the fans, I think, to become Vitor out rather than Vitor in, which they probably were a month or two ago, is that they've only got 2 points from nine games, which even with this squad looks like a pretty low return, especially when you consider the games they've had, in Premier League terms, relatively, have been fairly inviting fixtures.
Head over to The Athletic now to catch the latest from Steve and plenty more besides. Well, the top three in the current European Golden Boot rankings are exactly who you'd expect them to be. Harry Kane, followed by Erling Haaland, followed by Kylian Mbappe. Fourth place, however, belongs to a player unfamiliar to many, Joaquin Panicelli, Strasbourg's summer signing who has hit the ground running with 8 goals in his first 9 games in Ligue 1. Panicelli is on quite the rise, having been plying his trade at Mirandés in Spain's Segunda Division last season on loan from Alavés. And plying his trade's doing him a bit of a disservice, to be honest. He scored 21 in 44 games, the 21st of which put Mirandés on the brink of a first ever La Liga promotion, right up until Santi Cazorla's Real Oviedo mounted their heroic comeback. French football expert Tom Williams knows all about Panicelli's early season exploits in Alsace. Tom, have Strasbourg unearthed a gem here? And does Panicelli have a chance of making Argentina's World Cup squad?
Joaquin Panicelli has been the revelation of the season so far in Ligue 1. Arrived pretty much as an unknown. Scored on his debut to give Strasbourg victory over local rivals Metz on the opening day of the season with a trademark header. And he hasn't looked back. He's been playing up front on his own quite a lot. He was brought in really to be a foil for Emmanuel Emega, the Strasbourg captain. But Emega's been injured. Panicelli's been having to lead the line on his own. But he's done it brilliantly. Was superb again in Strasbourg's recent 3-3 draw away to PSG, scored an absolutely brilliant Duncan Ferguson-esque header in the first half, completely monstering Ilya Zabani in the air. then got a second later on. Lucas Beraldo had such a tough time against him that Luis Enrique took him off with half an hour remaining. And just seems to be growing in confidence with every game. Proper old-fashioned centre-forward, big, physically strong, very, very good in the air, holds the ball up really well, has never played for Argentina at any level, but is exactly the kind of player that you would want to have up your sleeve going into a major tournament. So could we see him at the World Cup? I mean, if he carries on scoring at this rate, he's definitely got a decent chance.
If you like French football and you haven't read Tom's book, Va Va Voom, I recommend you put that right immediately. There's a link in the episode description. Millwall have spent October turning their decent start to the season into an excellent start to the season, and that's despite losing the first game of the month, 4-0 at home to Coventry. Since then, Alex Neil's side have won all four of their games, and they've only conceded one goal in that run. The Lions are up to third. They're 2 points off an automatic promotion spot, fortified in the playoff spots by a healthy 4-point gap. And with the impact of parachute payments apparently lessening, at least for this season, last year's relegated teams currently occupy 10th, 12th and 20th, there's definitely an opportunity here for Millwall to do something special. What we need now is someone to give us a detailed assessment of their chances to do just that. Someone like Adrian Clark from the What the EFL podcast. Clarky, is this flash in the pan stuff from Millwall? Or has Alex Neil built a team that can stay the course?
Look, if they do stay the course, it'll be a remarkable achievement for Millwall, given their size and budget. But I tell you what, in a wide open championship season, they definitely have a chance. Alex Neil's doing an understatedly brilliant job. They've lost 12 of 41 matches since he took over in late December. They've won almost 54% of those games as well. Brilliant numbers. Millwall are what you'd expect them to be. They're aggressive. No team makes more tackles. They're monsters in the air. Yep, they win the most aerial duels. They're hardworking, well-organised, in a 4-2-3-1, unsurprisingly as well. Six of their 14 championship goals have come via set pieces as well. Alex Neil isn't bothered about possession, and I think that's a good call because his team is built for those long ball transitions and for counters. Right now, they've scored the joint most goals from fast breaks in the championship. I like their back four. Tristan Cramer looks a great pickup at centre-back from Brentford B. Casper Denore is a terrific all-round championship midfielder, and after scoring 4 in 4, everyone's suddenly talking about their right-winger at the moment, Femi Azeez. Where they may come unstuck is in the goals department. They've only scored 14 in 12 league matches, but Millwall are solid and reliable, yet to lose away from home. Alex Neil's definitely made them the opposite of pushovers. My hunch is that they probably fall short, especially if injuries bite. But in the here and now, with so many big teams struggling, Millwall can definitely do a Luton. And I, for one, would love to see it happen.
And you can find What the EFL on all your regular podcast providers. Follow them on Twitter as well. There's a link in the episode description. It's a big night of League Cup football tonight. Quarterfinal places are up for grabs. Newcastle Spurs is probably the pick of the games. That's on ITV and Sky. But you can also watch Arsenal Brighton, Liverpool Palace, Swansea Man City or Wolves Chelsea because they're all on Sky. There are Serie A games too, all on DAZN. You can do a double bill if you like. Tea time kickoff, managerless Juventus against Udinese or Roma Parma. And then you can follow up with Inter Fiorentina. Now, no matter how bad your day is, some poor soul at Amazon Pay-Per-View has to shift Lorient PSG access. Tonight, maybe you'll be the little spike on their KPIs. That's on at 6, and then you could watch Barking Mad Marseille against Angers if you really, really wanted to. There are other Ligue 1 games as well, but they are all locked away on Ligue 1 Plus. There are Scottish games too. Unbelievably, the Celtic Falkirk game, Martin O'Neill's return, is limited to Celtic TV subscribers only, which is a bit of a shame. Rangers at Hibs is on Sky, but the revolution in Scottish football will not be televised because there is no way to tune in to St Mirren versus Hearts. That was Route 1. It was Football Fast, No Faff. It's here every day at about 3 p.m. If you like it, give it a follow. If you really like it, give it a review. I've been Ian McIntosh. Helena Fremantle was in the producer's chair. Chris Smith was in the writer's room. And we will see you tomorrow.